Well, this morning we all have a special treat. We're going to do a couple different things. One, we're going to do a follow-up from last week. How many of you were here last week in our conversation? Yes, so great. There's just the fruit of that conversation afterwards this week from people just on Sunday morning, just talking about this conversation around anxiety and depression, right? Recognizing that Hebrews 12 verse that talks about the nature, says, lay aside every weight, and then separately, lay aside every sin which so clings so closely so we can run the race that God has set before us. And we talked about the nature that our anxiety and depression in our culture, it is one of those weights that believer and unbeliever, inside and outside of the church alike, are dealing with on a weekly basis. And it really is to epidemic proportions for us. And so last week was a conversation around, hey, there's no shame in this. It is a weight that the enemy uses to weigh us down. It's a weight that life uses to weigh down. It's a weight that we wrestle with. And so Tiffany, who's back here, and then we had Christina, who was here, sat there and said, hey, there's no shame in this. This is supernatural for the things that we deal with in life. Here's some of the symptoms. Here's some of the things you can do. Here's some of the hope that you can have in it. And they sat, talked to people afterwards and passed out lists for therapists. We took some time and prayed for people again. It was just this holistic, beautiful expression of being the church and talking about things that are affecting our lives and our spiritual lives particularly. So I encourage you, if you did not listen to last week, please go back and listen. Feel free to share that with anyone that you know, loved ones, friends, family that may be struggling with this. We'd love to get it to everybody's hands so it can be an encouragement for them and hopefully bring breakthrough and spiritual breakthrough in their life. Now, in transition from last week to this morning, we're going to grab hold of some of these pieces this morning, just around anxiety and depression, but specifically in how we deal with that. One of the things that Christina and Tiffany talked about last week regarding our response to the weight that we're carrying is, they said this in so many words, when facing our weight, we always want to believe God for a miracle. Right? We always want to believe God for a miracle, a divine intervention. We know He can do that. That's why we're taking time next week to pray for people, to pray for loved ones. But they also said, we know many times that God then takes us on a journey or a healing that takes time, right? That happens over time. And in that journey, God uses friends, God uses family, God uses pastors, God uses therapists, God uses anyone who's a part of our life in that journey. And within that struggle with our anxiety, depression, again, we said it's not a sign of sin in our lives or something we should ever feel shame about. It's just that weight that we're carrying, and we need to focus on removing it so we can run the race that God has set before us. And so in that story, we believe in divine intervention. And then we believe sometimes that many times God takes us on a journey of healing. And here's the beautiful piece about it. Whether it's a divine intervention or a long journey, this seems like a natural process of therapy and whatever it may be. Each of them require the supernatural movement of God in both. And they're both supernatural in their own right. And one of the people that I think has a story that paints this picture best is our very own April Junesar, who's going to come this morning. So April is responsible here at Vinci's on staff for all of pastoral care, for assimilation, getting you into the body of Christ, for hospitality and our prayer ministry. If you know April, you know that she is loved by everyone. She is fantastic at her job. Vintage is way better because she is here. But in us knowing her story, yeah, you can get up for April one more time, right? She's so great. The blight is blinding, yes, just get over it, okay? Now, in knowing her story, Randall, I've been just intimately involved in her story over the years. Actually, April and I have known each other since college. We go back a few years, right?
I'm younger than Steven.
Yes, you are like by 3 months. There we go. So Now, I want to tell you, in hearing her story this morning, you're going to hear some of these pieces of divine intervention and then in the journey of healing, right? And I think this morning what I want is I want you to be encouraged by her story. I want you to hear it. I want you to know it, right? This is the telling of testimony. The telling of story is so powerful. And so I'm excited about you hearing her story. And my hope is it's encouraging to you. I'm hoping that it's challenging, right? I hope it breaks some things for you and becomes something super helpful as you hear her own story in this journey, right, through trauma and through issues of mental health and again, just hearing her story. And so with that, I'm going to pray for her real quick. And I invite you as we begin to start, say, God, just give me ears to hear this morning. So, Father, we thank you for April. God, as she comes to share her story this morning, I'm asking that you would empower her. And then, God, I pray you would empower our hearing. I pray you would empower her and empower our hearing. And God, I pray that you would put this story and this message into the hands of those who need it most. Father, we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right. So April, like every single person here, there are things that have happened in your life, right? Things that are healthy things and unhealthy things from our past. We all experienced this. And in some of these unhealthy things, right, that they produce moments in us, right? Produce moments that need God's intervention. And so with that, just kind of tell us a little bit about your backstory, kind of what got you to this journey, this place of needing God's movement intervention in your life.
That's loud. I had what you might call a hard childhood. A lot of hard things happened when I was younger. I had a very friendly neighbor who abused me. My parents got divorced. My mom remarried quickly to a man who was an alcoholic and verbally and emotionally abusive. I felt really unprotected at that time. And then my dad decided to get remarried and pretend like my brother and I never existed. So he completely disowned us, lives like we don't exist.
Which, yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic. Right. So again, so basically you have a broken story, right?
Yes,
you have a broken story. So talk about this and then in this journey then for your life that, I mean, I remember back in college, like I knew some of these pieces. I was aware of them, and they impacted you to a degree, but there became a moment in life when even maybe using that language of Hebrews 12, the weight, it's like, the weight just sat very differently in you and hit you, impacted you. And I think I want you to talk about what that felt like. I think each of us have those moments, right, around where we're just kind of going through life and all of a sudden it's like a weight hits. We're like, where did this come from? But we realize then it kind of speaks back kind of like your story, these moments. So talk about that moment where the weight hit, what that looked like, what that felt like in the experience of that.
I think for the most part, I had things pretty well put together. I seemed like I was together.
Back in college, but I mean, it's okay a little bit. So yeah, go ahead.
I smoked a lot of cigarettes. to help
don't do that, guys.
Yeah, don't
bad.
Do it. I would not recommend it. But I did. I kept things kind of together. It was just how I survived. I mean, I really just survived. And then when I had my own family, Marty and I got married. We bought a house, I got a new job, and all of a sudden I was really depressed and really anxious. And I was like, all these things are great. Why am I depressed and why am I anxious? It kind of hit me out of nowhere, honestly. I was not expecting that. And then when I started having my own children, more things started coming up where I realized, like, one of my oldest was born with a lot of food allergies, and I was like, God, I don't care what happens to me. Just heal my child. And then, and even in that moment, I was like, that's not right, though. Like, why do I not care what happens to me? Hmm. And with each of my kids, I mean, praise God, I fought for them. I fought for them. I was empowered to do things for them that weren't done for me, and I'm super grateful for that. But it just kept stirring up stuff in me, and I was like, where is this coming from? I didn't know. I mean, I should have known. It's like, duh. But I honestly did not know because I had survived for so long. And then when I was pregnant with my daughter, I went to two women at Riverstone who prayed for me because I just knew something was wrong and I didn't know exactly what. And they prayed for me and asked God to give me a picture of how he saw me. And it was the most beautiful picture of this little girl in a dress and a field of flowers. And she was free and confident in who she was. It meant so much to me. But in that moment, too, I was like, I don't, that's not me. You know, I did not believe it was me. It was something that I longed for, but it wasn't at all how I felt or how I lived.
Yeah, so talk a little bit more. So again, so you have these traumas. All of a sudden, the weight begins to hit. You recognize a need. The first thing you did is you reached out to these women to pray for you. And I know that was a profound moment. I know you just kind of touched on it a little bit. But just kind of talk about a little bit, unpack a little bit more of like, what did it look like in that moment of kind of God's intervention and kind of the power of that moment for you in prayer? Kind of even maybe it was a starting point, whatever language you want to you're using. But kind of talk about just that power of God's intervention in that moment.
Yeah, I mean, it really was the beginning of a journey. I left one part out, too. When my second son was little, I had to have surgery, and I went into panic mode. Like, what if something happens to me? What about my child? And it literally, I heard God say, trust me. And in that moment, I realized I didn't actually really trust him. I mean, I did, kind of, mostly, but not really. And so those two things together kind of set me on this path to really for like healing and restoration. Like, okay, yeah. This is how I feel. I don't want to feel this way. I know you're trustworthy. I know you look at me this way. I want to be able to believe that and see myself that same way too. I'm not going to say what year it was because it was a while ago.
Yeah, and so in that moment, again, just to kind of walk me through, I would love for people to even understand, like, what the prayer looks like in the inner healing piece, right? Because it was not just a short, like, five-minute prayer.
No.
Right? It was like an intentional time. So, again, I think even as we talk about our prayer times here, I think what I'm looking for is kind of just to dive into a little bit of, like, how, like, what did that prayer time look like? What are some of the things even that God was doing in that moment? Kind of the things that he spoke into the moment that, again, maybe even a start of a journey, but it was still like an Ebenezer moment, one of these moments of breakthrough for you.
I mean, I will say I felt very loved in that moment. Even if I couldn't take hold of that fully for myself, I felt loved and seen and known and hopeful. Like, it really spurred me on to be able to pursue him for more. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then the next big moment was another prayer time where we just started asking the Lord, like, what do you want to show April or what do you want to say to her? And the first thing he brought up was the abuse that I experienced as a child. And he showed me every single memory that I had of it. He was there. Like, all the memories kept popping into my mind. And it was me and then Jesus and then the person who had hurt me. Every single picture, he was there. And that was powerful, too, because I'd felt so alone for so long. Just to know that he was there, again, spurred me on and made it, I mean, it really is his grace to then allow us to pursue greater healing.
Yeah. So I think in that, again, and I know, so again, great moment. God met you, revealed his love to you, spoke in that moment. But again, and in that, knowing your story, that wasn't the end, right?
That was the beginning.
That was the beginning,
real.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I do think, and even talking through, like, you know, Tiffany and Christina walking last week and saying, hey, we believe God for these divine intervention type moments, but then there is this long journey, the beautiful journey of healing that God then takes us on over time, which has really been defined a lot of who you are. So I'd love for you just to kind of speak, and again, it is a long journey. So I've told April, like, don't tell everything, like, there'll be another time, another day, but talk through just some of these primary pieces of the journey, what God's spoken, what you've learned, and some of these really true breakthrough, maybe supernatural moments just in this natural journey of therapy that you've been on.
Well, one of the things I learned is that our experiences teach us things, and sometimes they teach us the wrong things, or we believe lies because of what we've experienced. And I believe that I was the problem. I was the common denominator in every single thing that had happened to me. And so, and this wasn't like a conscious thought process, but I had learned to believe it was because of me. And obviously that's not true, but that's how I felt. I didn't know how to be a daughter because I didn't really have a good father. And I didn't know how to trust the Lord because I had fought for myself and taking care of myself for so long. And praise God, I survived. I mean, honestly, like, it's how I survived. But then he brought me to this point where it's like, he has so much more. I just lived like an orphan for a really long time. I didn't trust people. I didn't trust God. Again, on the outside, it looked like I had it together pretty well. I really did, for the most part. My husband might say some different things. but along this journey, it's like, I mean, I didn't know I was believing that I was a problem. I had no idea. I didn't know that that was there. I didn't know that I felt like something was wrong with me. I recognized for a long time that I had no trouble believing God's promises for everyone else. I mean, like, hold on, like, fight for people, believe in those promises, but I wasn't, like, fully believing in them for myself, and I didn't really know why. So God, this journey that God's taken me on, it's just him peeling back the layers. The breakthroughs that came in prayer really spurred me on and enabled me to go look at the hard things with him. I mean, it was awesome that he showed me where he was in all those memories, but then I had to go back and sit with him in them and, like, but you allowed it. But you allowed all these things to happen. I had to just sit there with him and process that with him. But the beautiful thing is he's reprocessed all my memories, the ones that have come up, the things that have happened from his truth versus the lies that I had believed. So he's just taken me on this journey of renewing my mind, bringing truth in the place of lies, showing me who I am to him, how much value I have. I'm amazing, I've heard from people. But I'm believing it now. I mean, it's just, I'm believing it now. I'm able to take hold of these things that have always been true, but my experiences told me that they weren't true. But now I'm believing that they're true. And there is so much freedom. I was thinking about that this morning. There's so much freedom. I know this may be a bad application of the verse, that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It applies to so many different things. Like in places where we're believing lies, where the truth comes in, we believe it. It sets us free. I mean, it really, truly does.
And I think it's interesting, even when we talk about that nature of the weight, you actually believed a life with weight was your truth, right? I think that's the nature of the weight that we deal with, even the stress and anxiety and the worry and despair. It's like that just becomes our new norm. We think that that's the life we're called to live. And out of the goodness of God, that's what it was. Like, I think what you hear me say, like, even the goodness of God was to begin to highlight, like, even the feelings of despair, the feelings of anxiety. It's like, that's not a good feeling, but they are such a sign pointing us to our need for more of Jesus, for breakthrough, right? I don't want you to be afraid of those feelings sometimes. They literally are God's gift to say, hey, there's a problem, like red light's going on, right? And so it's really, really healthy to even begin to recognize that rather than run from it, embrace it, which is what you've done. And so talk to people about, so obviously you've been on this journey, like you've been in counseling, you've been sitting with the Tiffany's and the Christina's of the world and kind of walking through some of these pieces, these people who love Jesus, who carry this heart of God for wise counsel. Just talk about and kind of demystify even in your own experience, like how healthy that relationship with your counselor therapist has been in even helping you love Jesus and get to a place of healing.
For one thing, they validate you. Like when I said I went through a lot of hard things when I was younger, I thought I would just walk through a lot of hard things. I had no idea it was trauma, like literally had no idea. And trauma impacts you, it impacts your brain. So, and I was afraid of trauma because I thought it meant that I was broken. And even to be able to look at it like, no, I'm actually a survivor and overcome a lot of things.
Yeah.
Just to have that little shift in thinking, it's a safe place to explore these things. The flashing lights. I mean, God literally does like neon flashing lights with an arrow pointing at stuff for me because it takes me a little bit sometimes to get what he's saying. But he's done that over and over again. And each time, it's easier for me to trust him and walk into the next place with him because he's been so faithful in all of it. So even though it's hard, I knew he was going to meet me there. And every part of my counseling, it's, you know, I've had these supernatural experiences through the prayer, but he's always met me in that room. He's always been there. Brought up things that I didn't realize, but it was in a safe place to then be able to process it and reprocess it again in the context of truth.
I love that. And so just as, again, as we kind of wrap this up this morning, I would love, again, just recognizing like you're naming the holistic move of God in your life from supernatural intervention to then just a natural journey then of counseling and highlighting things over time, right? I would love for you to speak about kind of like, is it like maybe a word of encouragement or your thoughts on this, or maybe just a challenge for people or whatever the word is that you feel like that you want to share with us around, hey, like, this is reality. This is my story. This may be your story too. Let me encourage you in it.
I think I made the conscious decision along this journey to go there with the Lord. I honestly didn't even know fully what that would look like, but I knew I had to, because I knew these things were impacting me, even if they were below the surface. And so I made the choice that I wanted to be free from those things. And I remember praying and asking God to change me and to change my heart. I had no idea what I prayed. I mean, I honestly was like, oh my gosh, you could have given me a little bit of a clue what this was going to look like. But it's been such a journey. And some of it has been really, really hard because I've had to go back and revisit things, but it's also been really, really good. And I've still, there have been places where I felt stuck in counseling, and then I asked people to pray for me and had really big breakthrough with that recently too. So it's been such a partnership between the Lord, counseling, prayer, and me. I've been partnering with him in that. I came across this one Instagram post just this week, and I thought it summed this up pretty well. So this is my encouragement to all of you. We were created to walk in freedom and wholeness. However, in this life, we can experience things that produce confusion and pain. We underestimate what God can accomplish. God does not want for you to push through your pain. He is inviting you to enter into the process of healing with himself as Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Right now, God is redefining our understanding of his role and ability in our lives. He is the hero of our story, the one who carries our weight and gives us an easy yoke, the restorer and redeemer of our lives, and the healer of our painful and broken places. I encourage you to invite the Lord to reveal to you what he's redefining for you right now.
Amen. I appreciate it. Give it up for April, guys. And I know for April this morning, yes, so good. Randall, can I get my phone? But thanks. Yeah, it's one of those deals where, we put a special April box of tissues in my office, and we meet on a monthly basis in our staff time, and just, it's been good. And I will say, I mean, the interesting thing is, like, I want you to hear a story. And again, one, if this was encouraging and you feel like, oh my gosh, I need to talk to April, she'd be happy to connect with you. Definitely call her after 11 p.m. at night. Those are the best times to call her. And but she definitely would love just to connect with you, to encourage you, to help get some guidance and some leadership, even for your own life. And I think, again, it's been super neat just to watch her, just to watch the journey. And like, Randall, I've gotten a front row seat. We've gotten to be a part of the process. And I thought what she said at the end was super important. Like, in her journey, like, there are moments that are just really, really hard, right? Moments that she wanted to give up. She's like, it's just too much. And I think that the reality is, like, just because we're in a journey with Jesus, I hope you all know this, just because we're in a journey with Jesus sometimes doesn't make it easy. Right? Doesn't make it easy, right? Journeys with Jesus usually are really hard. He's like, hey, it's time for you to jump over this. You're like, I've never jumped over anything that high in my entire life, right? He's like, I know, but let's do it together. And it's like, I'm not sure I can. And so it's just the nature of this journey, right? That we want to be people who are believing God for spiritual things and learning our Bible and learning how to pray and how to do silence and solitude and how to pray for people and all this kind of stuff. And all that's really, really great. But if you are emotionally unhealthy and emotionally broken and emotionally stunted and weighed down, then you can only go so far on this, right? They are completely married together. I can tell you with April, whatever, how many years ago, like, she loved Jesus and God was moving and it was beautiful. But we can attest today that because of this restoration and healing, it's like she has blossomed into the person that God's designed her to be. And she's living her most real life, the life that God intended for her, which is getting free of the weight that so easily weighs her down so she can run the race that's set before her. And I want you to hear me say, that's not just April's story. It's the hope of God for you and you. And pretend I'm going all the way around and telling that all of you eye to eyeball to eyeball, okay? And so that's the heartbeat. And this morning, I do want to make a transition. You can see the word on the screen, supernatural, this morning. And we're going to talk about this week. I'm going to go to about 10 after, okay? 10, 15 after, you know how pastors work, right? And then we'll go back into ministry time. We won't go as long as we did last week, even though last week was amazing. But I want to start something this week, and then we will end it next week in talking about this idea of supernatural. I want those of you first in this place, right, who are carrying the Hebrews 12 weight of anxiety, depression, again, to hear the story of God's movement in April's life. I want you to hear about how prayer and this divine intervention of God's movement in her life with these women who prayed for her and helped her to find Jesus and where he was in these moments of brokenness and despair. Like, it was a powerful moment. It was beautiful. And all we do is celebrate it. There's no but attached to it. We celebrate those moments, right? And to recognize, like, God wants to do these things in your life. And in that, to also recognize that once these happen, then God will take you on a journey many times, sometimes with pastors and friends, with therapists and counselors, to begin to help you process. And April's story is just an encouragement for that. Also this morning, I want us to see this moment to launch into this idea of what does it mean to live a supernatural life? A supernatural life, even attaching this moment, recognizing there was a supernatural move of God in prayer time for April. We celebrate it. But there's also been more of a natural journey that April's been on through therapy. That's been a journey for her over time. But here's the point. Listen, if you asked her which one was the most supernatural, this divine intervention or the journey that God has had you on, she will say yes, right? They are equal in her mind, this supernatural and the supernatural, just different expressions of it. And this morning, what I want to do and next week is begin to throw out and lay out for us what I think is a timely word and season from the Lord for Vintage about being a supernatural people, but in going after the supernatural, not discrediting what maybe are simple small things, but recognizing if God is in it, big or small, that it is supernatural, and to become a people who recognize the holistic